Good morning. As you have been told, we are learning from 2 Peter chapter 1, and so let me quickly invite your attention there. 2 Peter and chapter 1. We will commence reading from the 5th verse, although, as you already heard, my message will be from verse 8. Just to acknowledge that we are living in extraordinary times because of the coronavirus and its impact upon society generally. I was reading this morning that approximately 160,000 lives have been lost, and that's a staggering number. 160,000 lives. Surely, it calls us to times of self-humiliation. It calls us to times of prayer. It calls all of us to seriously consider our relationship with God in the midst of taking all those preventative and precautionary measures that have been advised by government and also by health officials. We, for instance, have been strongly advised not to congregate, and consequently are currently preaching in an auditorium that is as good as empty. However, grateful for technology that enables me to speak to those of you who have tuned in. So I will read 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, from the English Standard Version. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, most of you who might be tuning in and not regulars at Forgot About This Church might not know this, but prior to my being aware for the last 6 weeks, I've been taking a series of messages under the theme, Christian, grow up. Christian, grow up. And basically, my burden was that it's important for those of us who are believers to realize that we are not simply to profess faith and, as it were, continue to merely exist and somehow try to keep away from sin and trouble until we find ourselves in heaven. But rather, that we are in fact called to grow in Christ-likeness. God wants us to become more fruitful, to be effective, to glorify Him more and more and more as we live here on earth. And it is as we grow up in Him that in fact we begin to fulfill the purpose for which we truly exist. And that's the appeal that I have been making as we've been making our way through this passage of scripture in 2 Peter. That we have no reason whatsoever for us to be dwarfed in our spiritual experience, for us to continue in immaturity as we are living here on earth. Because those who are spiritual giants of the faith have no more grace offered to them than the rest of us. The same faith that Peter had is the same one that God has given us as well. In fact, earlier on in this same passage, in verse 3, Peter had said, his divine power, referring to God's divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So really, we have been given all that we need for all of us to be true spiritual giants. However, as we have been looking in the last 10 to 15 studies, we have noted that we must now be the ones to make every effort to strain our spiritual muscles, as it were, to ensure we are making progress, adding to faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. That's a responsibility that each one of us has, and we need to ensure we are playing our role in adding those qualities to ourselves so that we might become truly godly and spiritual. And one of the points that I have sought to play over and over and over again is that we need to notice that the qualities are spiritual. The Apostle Peter is not saying, make sure you add to your faith diplomas and degrees and certificates and wives and children and houses and cars and so on. No. Although we are not discouraging all that, it is primarily spiritual qualities that all of us must be aiming for, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, when one sees the kind of things that believers seem to throw all their weight into, day by day, week by week, month after month, you find that it is largely physical things. We begin to inquire what efforts they are putting into spiritual acquisition, you find scandalously very little. No wonder we are failing as believers to have an impact. No wonder, even in the days of the coronavirus, we are not really seeing believers who are taking occasion of this calamity in order to have an impact for Christ. It's primarily because of the fact that we are not growing. We are not putting in everything to become like Christ. And therefore, when the crisis hits, we are all scattered. May God have mercy on us. In fact, when you come to this age, you soon realize the spiritual incentive that the Apostle Peter gives for the reason why we should pursue these qualities, why we should possess and grow in spiritual qualities. Listen to the reason that it is, and you can't miss the fact that it is so that we might be effective. Dare I say, even during COVID-19. Listen to this. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being effective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm putting it positively, this is what he's saying. That if these qualities are yours and increasing, they make you effective. They make you fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said. He said, go for them. Because once you have them, and once you have them in increasing measure, your life has a great dominion. Well, today, I just want us to think about possessing and growing in these spiritualities. Trust me that once we understand what that means, we will see what it is we should be seeking to be and seeking to do in order for our lives to truly be in us, possessing and growing in spiritual qualities. There's no doubt that verse 8 here assumes that every healthy believer possesses these qualities. Every healthy believer possesses these qualities. So the Peter says, for if these qualities are yours, that if is not one that is assuming that you can be a believer and not have these qualities. It's not like he's unsure about it. It is rather saying, look, if you have this, then this is what is going to result. It is that aspect that really has the if close to it. But in terms of having these qualities, Peter is assuming, and the Bible assumes, that every true believer will be like this. So really, I won't be asking you, if you claim to be a Christian today, do you possess these qualities in some measure? Do you? Have you added to your faith virtue? Have you added to your virtue knowledge? Have you added to your knowledge steadfastness? Have you added to your steadfastness that you speak about in terms of self-control? Have you added to your self-control genuine godliness? Have you added to godliness brotherly affection? And have you added to brotherly affection love? Can you be described in those words? You see, when the Apostle Peter here speaks in terms of having these qualities, if these qualities are yours, if they are in your possession, if you own them, he has in mind the way in which we own property. In other words, it's something that is yours for the keeping. Now, there are other ways in which people possess things and think they're not really theirs. In the morning, for instance, if you are driving out of the capital city of Osaka, it's probably the same in other towns as well, and you are heading out in the more rural areas, you will be coming across individuals on bicycles who are cycling into the city center with a lot of vegetables and farm produce on those bicycles. The farm produce is not theirs. They don't possess it. They may have bought it, but they've got no interest in keeping it whatsoever. As soon as they get into the city, they get into the marketplaces, they will want to offload those farm produce so that they can give them over in exchange for money and head back again to their homes. You see, that kind of possession is not the kind of possession that Peter has in mind here. That which is transient, which is just here now and tomorrow is gone. When trials come, when temptations come, when COVID-19 comes, then this can disappear into nothingness. No, no, no. Peter has in mind the possession that is permanent. Permanent. So that these characteristics describe you all the time. Come wind, come rain, come storms, come whatever will come, you can be described in this church that you are a person of virtue. In other words, a person of excellence. That's the way in which you continue to live. creature who's always full of the knowledge of God. You possess that knowledge. You don't run away in the midst of difficulties and begin to question God, His purposes for you, His love for you. No! You remain that way. And that's the reason why steadfastness again comes in here. With respect to self-control too. So these are characteristics, virtues, qualities that remain with you. And you can go on to all the others, godliness, brotherly affection, love. The question is, can you be described that way? Can you? Would your spouse describe you that way? That even when difficulties have come into the context of your home, between you as husband and wife, or between yourself and your children, can they still see that there is this consistency about you with respect to these qualities? That this is you. The point is, if your Christianity is skin deep, and it is only described in these words, when the weather is great and everybody is being good to you, there are no temptations and no trials to rock the little boat of your life. No coronavirus has come into the world to wreak havoc around you. That's the only time they can describe you in this terms. But when trials come, when the flood hits against the little boat of your life, all these are lost. Most likely, you are not a true Christian. You are not. Remember what we said. The Bible assumes that this is true about every believer. If yours is a skin deep religion that easily gets lost in the storms of life, then you may need to go to Christ and say to Him, make me a real Christian. Make me a real Christian. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, so that I might have the spiritual stamina that can handle all situations of life. Let me say it again. The Bible assumes if you are a believer, you will have these qualities. The second aspect of what we're learning here is that the Bible also makes it clear that healthy Christians grow in these qualities. Healthy Christians grow in these qualities. And that's what we notice here in our text. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. For if these qualities are yours, and are increasing. If they are yours and are increasing. I mentioned the fact that the preacher uses the phrase, if these are yours. Really, his burden at this point is not so much the possession as the growing in these qualities. In fact, the spine down to verse 7 was all about when he was saying, add to faith virtue and add to it knowledge and add self-control and add steadfastness and so on. But really, it's in terms of growing in peace rather than merely possessing them. In fact, the English word that we have there for increasing is quite a bit of an understatement, because the equivalent in the Greek, the actual word that is there, is the same root from which we have the word plenty, in plentiful supply. In other words, in abundance. So really, The best way of putting together in this that for if these qualities are yours and are increasing plentifully, that would be a closer phrase to the actual Greek original. It is in terms of you having them so abundantly that the people around you are going, "Wow!
you've gone into automatic color.
is that you are still continuing to climb. You're still continuing to climb. Often, when you are in an airplane and you take off, you have the pilots still having the sort of seatbelt sign on. And basically, after that point, you're not allowed to move around anywhere. You must still remain. And anyway, you can tell because the angle of the airplane is still not horizontal. So you're likely to fall down if you try to do anything. But at some point, the signage goes off. And the cabin crew made their announcement that you are now free to move around, but each time you sit, doesn't make sure you put in a seatbelt. In other words, you've now reached cruising stage. There's no need to keep climbing any further. In fact, sometimes you can even see the pilot come out of his cabin, just around, getting some sort of training or challenge. Go back in. This is now relaxed stage. The Christian faith is never like that. There's nothing about Pharaoh who's now got the abundance. Therefore, we can now get into cruise stage until we get to heaven. There's nothing. It is ever coming, ever growing. The reason is obvious. We want to be like Christ, and Christ is infinitely glorious. We want to know something of His excellence in our being. We never be made. We want to know this God. Oh, this God is like a sun. Without a sphere, it's like an ocean. Without a shore, you can keep going and going and going in saying, no! So how do you begin saying, now I might be now? So why should I learn further? Come on! Your God must be an angel. Definitely not the God of the universe. Definitely. And you can keep going in terms of His qualities. The point is, we can never arrive. Therefore, unlike the airplanes that finally go off and move into the horizontal phase, for you, it is continuing to climb. Despite the abundance, continue to climb. Despite the abundance, until you disappear that way into glory. That's what's talking about here. Do these qualities in an ever increasing measure describe you? Because you see, it is as they remain fresh and are abundant in you that, as we shall be seeing in a few minutes, they become the means of your effectiveness. Let me just tell you this one. Father, you saw me as a good example. Disease, like a virus, as long as you just have a little bit of it in you, it never affects you. But in that sense, all of us are sick. You may not want to believe it, but you are. There's some bacteria, some virus, some something which is waiting for you. As long as you're aware. But you see, it's when these parasites multiply that things go wrong. The people in the medical world have been telling us, and I'm sure you did it, that the COVID-19 virus, given the name, sort of first of all settles somewhere in the being, enters into some cells in your body. Either in nostrils or passage in your mouth and so forth, and that's where the virus multiplies, and then when it bursts that particular molecule in your body and finds their way now into your lands troubled. So the offering in one form of bad advice to another, what you should be doing to prevent that first stage, because we have multiplied in abundance. Then, if one time you vaccinate us and they put all kinds of antibiotics in you and so on, in order to get your food from out of the grave again and bring you back into proper life. About the things. The point is it's the multiplication. It's the abundance that induces and kills us. With the sin, with hate, in the whole world, it is when the virus multiplies in the human body, kills. Well, that's a negative view. Yes, now change that negative into the positive. It is when these qualities multiply, when they are abundant in your person, when there is a copious supply of these qualities in your being, that you cannot help but be effective wherever you are. Because now the things, the qualities drive you to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. Well, that's the point, because that's really the point that I want us to make as we hurry on to close. Because the biblical fact is that these qualities are the fountain of fruitfulness in the Christian life. The fountain of fruitfulness. Back to our text. For if these qualities are yours, and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is vital. Next week, we will go into a lot more of the details concerning this being kept from being ineffective and unfruitful in our Christian life. But today, I just want us to note this as a fact. That's all. This is what it is. And the reason why let's note this as a fact is quite simple. It's that we must never aim to be effective and fruitful as Christians directly. We must never do that. Because if you try to aim at being fruitful and effective directly, we soon run out of it. It's like what happens in some churches. The church leaders are very concerned about the lack of commitment of church members. And so they are meeting in their leaders' meetings and say, okay, so what should we do? And they say, let's invite Brother Swartz, because he's a powerful preacher. He's a fire and brimstone preacher. Let's invite him to come and preach. And this is their thinking. That when he comes to preach, we should give him the topic, Christian commitment. Because he will then come as he preaches on Christian commitment, he is going to put heat, fire, under the seats of our church members and really make them see that they are terrible Christians because they are not committed. And therefore, we may get some real commitment out of the members of our church. Well, the truth of the matter is, the preacher comes, and they are put heat under their seat. And for the next week, 2 weeks, you have quite a lot of zealous church members. By the 3rd and 4th week, back to square one. You now have to invite that brother back to that church. For how long? You don't aim for effectiveness and fruitfulness directly. You either think that's trying to get your members to do that, or you yourself trying to convince yourself. It's like, forget that, give me an illustration, in terms of people that go through weight loss programs. You don't lose weight by trying to attack the fat that you eat. You don't. How do you do it? It's simple. Eat less calories than you are consuming in your activities. What's simple? It's simple. Less calories going in, more calories going out. Your body really thinks, well, I need to find the balance. Where do I find the balance? The fat will be boring. So all you need to do then is concentrate on not eating too much on one side. And then you have activity, exercise, and there's the biggest two things. Before long, people was at say, hey, what's been happening to you? You seem to be looking a little bit better. You were concentrating on something else. This was the result. In the same way, concentrate on growing up as a Christian. That's it. Concentrate on acting these qualities in your life. Throw all your weight into your spiritual maturity. I want to assure you, you will be effective. You will be fruitful. You don't need to concentrate on that. Your levels of commitment will be beyond anything that you can achieve by you concentrating on it directly. So, recognize that these qualities come as you deliberately add them to life. Amen. Concentration in those things. And then out comes a life that is truly impactful in your generation. By the time your life comes to an end, by the time you are buried, everybody will say, here was somebody who impacted our generation for Christ. That was it. It wasn't what you were concentrating on. All you wanted was to be like Christ. And in that glorious place, growth came. Well, let's get on to growth. As I said, I will deal with this aspect next week. What are we learning from this? The same message I've been giving all along, and it is this: Christian, grow. Be deliberate about it. so that you may indeed be something of what Christ wants us to be. After the world, inside believers. After the children, inside believers. After family, neighbors, then inside believers. Friends, inside believers. But even more so, the day in which we are with COVID-19 ready to die. The world desperately needs the kind of Christians who are not simply thinking about self-preservation, locked up somewhere, afraid to tackle the rest of the world. The world needs believers who cannot help but be effective and be fruitful in the midst of all the precautions and prevention measures being taken. There is a dynamo in their souls that cannot be shut down. They must do good for the brethren. They must do good for the world. They must have brotherly affection. They must have love. And that dynamo will shine in the world. Because thank you.